To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. Well, I put it up to a vote, a survey. I asked, what did you want to hear next on the Glow in the Dark Radio podcast? And it turns out what you'd like to hear next is Vatican Abdicator. By popular demand, the trilogy conclusion. A thrilling conclusion to the Vatican Assassin trilogy, chosen by the listeners of Glow in the Dark Radio. The survey said you wanted something with BC, and then that you wanted Vatican Abdicator, book 3 of the Vatican Assassin trilogy. And I wondered how long it had been since Abdicator was featured on the podcast, because I couldn't remember. It seemed like a long time ago, so I looked it up. Now, not counting BC's appearances in Alibi Jones's stories, we haven't done a BC story on the podcast since February of 2016, episode 386. So it's been 3 years and 136 episodes since we did a BC story in and of itself. Curiously enough, this was the end of Vatican Ambassador and when I last ran a survey to ask what you wanted to hear next. Back then, the choice was the first podcast of the final draft audio from Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. So we never did get into Vatican Abdicator on the podcast at that time. But, you know, I still hadn't discovered when Vatican Abdicator was last on the podcast, so I kept scrolling back through episodes, scrolling back. Wow. No wonder you want to hear Vatican Abdicator. The book hasn't been on Glow in the Dark Radio since February of 2011, episode 144. That's 8 plus years, and 378 episodes ago. The book still had the old black covers. I hadn't done the new covers yet. Podiobooks was still around, and it was the same audio as the early podiobooks that you were hearing. The chapter we're about to hear, well, two parts, actually. We're going to hear the prologue and chapter one. They have not been on the podcast since 2010, episode 131. So that's almost 400 episodes ago. I guess we're due for Vatican Abdicator. So this is a never-before-podcast edition of Vatican Abdicator, audio re-edited and remastered prior to its publication as an audiobook on Audible. Back in January of 2016, so this re-editing and remastering work was done between like June of 2015 and January of the year, 2016. So it's a fresh edit, never before podcast. And that's a lot about what we're going to be getting into, but how about we get into the story being told? Let me tell you a little bit about the Vatican Assassin's story so far, so I can set up Vatican Abdicator. You know, back when I first wrote and published Vatican Abdicator, there hadn't been a papal abdication in centuries. Abdication means resigning the office, you know? Abdicator isn't even a word that's recognized by most dictionaries. It always gets the squiggly red line there, you know, the misspelling line under it. You know? But back in 2013, Pope Benedict XVI there resigned. He was the first pope to do so since 1415. Gregory XII did that. I always thought Benedict looked a bit too much like Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars, you know? But I digress. It's kind of wild that I put out a book called Vatican Abdicator, and 5 years or so later, we have the first one in almost 600 years. I just say, you know, if you're a writer, be careful with your titles. You never know what's going to come true. Anyway, our story here is indeed about a pope who wants to abdicate. Bernard Campion, is the Pope of the New Catholic Church, a situation he fell into in our last book, Vatican Ambassador. He's not really papal material. He wasn't much of a priest, was just barely a cardinal, and if it weren't for an alien plague that was currently wiping out humanity and cutting the number of eligible papal candidates way down, it's unlikely BC would have ever been raised to this position. BC used to be a hitman for the Pope of the New Catholic Church, a Vatican assassin. Now, as he so eloquently put it, I'm the fucking Pope. But he sure doesn't want to be. Life has gotten a whole lot more complicated for BC since his carefree hitman days. Then it was just human beings trying to kill each other, the UIN, the Universal Islamic Nation, versus the UTZ, the Universal Trade Zone, with the New Catholic Church allying with the UTZ. But then BC discovered the project. He found out some humans were already in touch with and dealing with aliens. There was a whole interstellar neighborhood out there, dominated by a race known as the Eldred. The Eldred had been in charge for a million years after leading the overthrow of a violent race of overlords, now simply known as the Ancient Enemy. BC discovered that, thanks to star seeds launched by the Ancient Enemy upon their demise, and thanks to the efforts of alien races the Flays and the Domo to protect humanity from the Eldred, who usually destroyed all starseeds they could find, humanity turned out to be an offshoot of the Ancient Enemy. The eldest of the Eldred itself told BC this, explaining why they needed to launch a plague to contain humanity, as it put it. They won't kill us all if we agree to stay inside the confines of our inner solar system. How progressive. Well, after sending BC off with time to respond to their ultimatum, the Eldred quickly got back in touch to tell BC one of the Ancient Enemy was actually still alive. He had just been thought out of suspended animation that they were keeping him in. Because the Eldred believe, being the descendants of the Ancient Enemy, humanity might think like the Ancient Enemy, the eldest of the Eldred told BC they want his help hunting down the escaped Ancient Enemy, guy by the name of Dolome. Great. In light of the new threats, BC thinks he has an opportunity to talk with his UIN counterpart, Ibn al-Salid. So BC heads to Mars, unknown to most everyone. But al-Salid is not himself. He had been open to BC's plan earlier, his peace advances, but no longer. He locked BC up when BC landed on Mars, and BC discovered Dolome had already infiltrated al-Salid's inner circle, and the Ancient Enemy has telepathic skills. He seems to be able to use his mind to push al-Salid in his direction. And BC even felt Dolome attack him inside his own mind. But thanks to an old girlfriend, Faiza, and the wealthiest man in the universe, a CEO, the power behind the scenes of the Universal Trade Zone, the UTZ, Richard Wentworth, BC was able to escape from al-Salid and the UIN and Dolome. So when we last left BC at the end of Book 2, Vatican Ambassador, he was leaving Mars in one of Wentworth's ships, on his way to see the CEO and inform him of the Eldred, Dolome, and the million-year-old intergalactic war that just might be flaring up again. So that's where we begin things with Vatican Abdicator coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In the news, I've just finished working on another audiobook that I'm narrating, an introduction to the Emerald Tablet of Thoth Hermes. It's all about the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus, of Thoth Hermes. I'll let you know more about it when the book is actually coming out, which will probably be in a couple weeks. Seems to take 1 or 2 weeks for Audible to actually put the book out after they okay it. But it is on its way to retail now, my latest one. I'm also working on a graphic novel for a not-for-profit organization here in Vermont, Green Mountain Support Services. I'm writing the graphic novel for them, which is all about their direct support professionals. So I've been interviewing those people over the last couple of weeks, getting their stories, and working on how I'm going to tell those stories in comic book form, which is pretty cool. My thanks to Josh Smith, the director of the organization, for hiring me to do this for him. I'm also auditioning for new audiobooks, so we'll see what happens there. I am available for professional audio work. If you want to find out more, just head to glowinthedarkradio.com and click where it says voice work. And of course, if you want to find out about any of my stuff, any of my work, just head to glowinthedarkradio.com or go to mikeluoma.com. That's MikeLuoma.com. That's it for news. Let's get into the prologue and chapter one of Vatican Abdicator by popular demand on Glow in the Dark Radio. That's on the way next.
Tired of your everyday commute? Wish you knew what movies to watch? We offer you Flash Pulp! 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings with goodies every Sunday with 3-Day Fish, who is always listening.
Now, here's Vatican Abdicator, beginning with the prologue, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Classified report to Ibn al-Salid, Universal Islamic Nation, UIN, from the UIN Intelligence Office. Intelligence dossier summary on Pope Peter IV of the New Catholic Church, NCC, a.k.a. Bernard Campion, a.k.a. B.C. Born 2080, United States of America. Former affiliation, prior to reunification and the NCC in 2104, Holy Redemption Church of Jesus appears to have been cover for some sort of smuggling operation. Danger to UIN? Extremely high. The intelligence office understands Your Holiness's interest in engaging in a dialogue with Campion. We advise against this most vigorously on the basis of the threat posed by Campion, as detailed below. Bernard Campion is an unlikely pope. Recently elected by a plague-depleted college of cardinals, Campion was formerly an agent in the Office of Papal Operations, the OPO, under the previous Pope Peter II. Campion is known to the Universal Islamic Nation's intelligence office to have been a Vatican assassin answering only to the Pope himself. Campion is the likely assassin of Lunar Prime Governor Meredith McIntyre at the Lunar Peace Conference on July 12, 2109. Compromised former UIN intelligence office agent Nita Bendix was publicly blamed for the governor's death. See additional file summary on Bendix Nita, an apparent triple agent now known to be Anita Capituna of Van Kilner's project and a close confidant, possible lover of Campion's. Campion is also the likely assassin of the cult figure known as The Light, whose followers previously occupied Fortune Station until their leader's death in November of 2109. The evidence is only circumstantial. Campion was known to be on a mission for the OPO at this time and disappeared for approximately 2 months. He was rumored to have been on Fortune Station for that length of time, and his return to Lunar Prime coincided with the death of the Light. The UTZ moved in and evacuated the cult at that time, relocating the surviving members to Dubuque, Iowa, United States of America, UTZ. The intelligence office has unconfirmed reports that high dosages of psychotropic drugs were administered to Campion by the cult on Fortune Station, resulting in Campion's chronic, debilitating headaches, which have been witnessed and reported. These headaches of Campion's could be a useful weakness to exploit if needed. After our great retaliation of Christmas 2109 and the death of Pope Peter II, Campion's activities apparently became more peaceful. He was named acting and then full Vatican ambassador to Lunar Prime by Peter II's successor, Pope Linus II, and began organizing the recent series of peace conferences on Lunar Prime. As the last of the conferences ended with the biological warfare and the infection of our delegation with the current plague that has wiped out a third of our population, it may be that Campion's peace conferences were merely an attempt to get us close enough to be infected. Granted, the UTZ's population has also been severely affected, but the accidental infection of their own population cannot be ruled out. The intelligence office cautions His Holiness to regard this latest explanation that the plague is of extraterrestrial origin with some skepticism. At this time, the intelligence office believes Campion's appointment to this highest office displays desperation on the part of the NCC leadership, and perhaps interference in the church's processes by the Universal Trade Zone, UTZ, CEO Richard Wentworth. The alliance between the UTZ and the NCC lasted for many years before the declaration of the church's neutrality by Pope Linus last year. Given his past history, the intelligence office feels it would be unwise to assume that the NCC will remain neutral under the leadership of Bernard Campion.
That was the prologue. Now here's Chapter 1, A Vatican Abdicator, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Second Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3. For although we are human, it is not by human methods that we do battle. The weapons with which we do battle are not those of human nature. They have divine power to demolish fortresses. The moon, our bright light in the night sky. Pope Peter IV, Bernard Campion, looks up at the full moon and sees the glint of light that marks the main dome of lunar prime. The dome over the atrium. I wonder, how tall are the new trees under there? How much have things grown back? How long has it been? Feels like only yesterday, doesn't it, BC? As he watches, the stars around the moon begin to burn brighter and brighter, nearly blinding him. That's not right. Suddenly, one of the stars drops out of the sky, disappearing below the horizon. Other stars follow, first one by one, then in a brilliant cascade of falling stars. After the last star falls, the sky is left blank and black, save for the bright full moon. The moon explodes! It shatters like glass. Sharp white shards glisten as they fall from the sky and pierce the ground around him. BC looks up and sees a shard coming straight down at him. It pierces his shoulder and slices right through him. He's ripped in two by the shard of falling light from the full moon. Ah! BC wakes up in a chilly sweat, realizes he's in a seat on the bridge of a ship. He collects his wits, remembers he's on his way to Wentworth Station, on board one of Wentworth's ships. Richard Wentworth. Guess I owe him one now. I don't like owing him anything. The man's a snake. I may be the head CEO of the Universal Trade Zone, but he's certainly the power behind the throne. At least he sent his pilot Drex along with this ship to save my ass when everything went wrong on Mars. He was supposed to meet with Al Salid on Mars, but the man threw him in a cell instead. A disguised and undercover FISA helped BC escape and helped him hook up with Wentworth's rescue ship. FISA. Finding her alive changed my mind about Wentworth. First he said she was dead. Then he let me believe he was keeping her as a drugged-up sex slave or worse. And all along he had her working as an agent for him, deep undercover in the Universal Islamic Nation, on Mars.
Yeah, morning, sunshine, Drex the pilot says, greeting BC. You dozed off for a second there. Then you shouted out, the moon, or something. Then you screamed. Must have been some dream anyways, huh?
Yeah, some dream. A dream about the moon. BC tries to clear his head of the vivid images. Guess I'm worried. What's not to worry about? My plans are falling apart. Well, not all of them. Wentworth says he'll work with me. With us, that's good. Maybe I can bring the project and the UTZ together. But otherwise, it's all falling apart. Thought Al Salid and I were going to be able to bring the UIN and the UTZ to the table together. Didn't expect Wentworth would have to send a ship to rescue me. Al Salid, the guy threw me in a cell. He wasn't himself. Didn't even seem to remember me, or remember agreeing to meet with me after we'd both met with the Eldred. And it was his idea. It was as if he was forgetting me right in front of my eyes. Is it Dolome on Mars? Felt like he was there when he was in my head, when I was in Al Salid's office. Dolome is on Mars. The Eldred lost track of him, told us to find him, and all signs point to Mars. It felt like he mentally attacked me on Mars. Those have to be the greater powers the Eldred said the ancient enemy possessed, mental powers. And who knows how powerful the guy is? The way the UIN is acting, it has to be Dolome pulling the strings.
The UIN is now under his control.
You know, after you freshen up on the station, talk with Mr. Wentworth, whatever, I can take you anywhere you want to go. You don't have to go back to the moon, Drex offers.
Why wouldn't I want to go back to the moon, BC asks.
Well, I don't know, just the way you shouted the moon before there. Anyways, I can take you back to the moon if you want, or anywhere on Earth or in orbit. Doesn't matter to me anyways. Not back to Mars, though, right?
Drex chuckles at his own joke.
Right, BC agrees grimly. Not back to Mars, he mumbles, still grateful Drex rescued him from the planet's dusty surface after his plan to meet secretly with Al Salid went horribly wrong.
That whole mission was for nothing. Although I did find out Faiza was okay. That was a surprise and a half. Hope she still is. Mars is a dangerous place. It has to be Dolomei. So, where to next?
Just back to the moon, Drex, I guess, BC tells the pilot. Unless something changes while I'm here. Thanks.
No problem, Padre.
BC settles back down in his seat and looks out the viewport at the carpet of stars.
Good, they're all staying put.
What a strange dream. Killed by a shard from a broken moon. Wonder if that means anything.
BC watches out the viewport as the rescue ship arrives at Wentworth Station. Watches the station loom larger as the ship approaches.
It looks like a camera floating in space.
The station has two sections. The lower, boxy section looks like an office building, topped with a shining, rotating, cylindrical section. They approach the camera body, the lens rising up into the sky,
rotating for gravity. The original section of the station. The lower, boxier part has artificial G. That's probably where we'll dock.
Drex maneuvers the ship in to dock with a walkway extending from the lower section. He directs BC to the airlock, then tells BC he's staying on the ship.
I'll wait for you. I've got everything I need on board.
I don't know how long I'll be here.
That's okay. Long as it takes, I'll be here. I can wait. Don't have much else to do anyways, Drex assures him.
See you when I get back, then. BC leaves the ship and walks down the walkway and enters the station alone. It seems nearly deserted. He stands in the lobby for a moment and takes in his surroundings. Marble floors, carpeted walls, tapestries. Not much has changed. Same color scheme, black and red and silver. Or is that chrome?
A greeter, a woman in a black and red environment suit, appears from behind a pair of sealed doors and welcomes him aboard. She leads him down a red and black corridor. There's still no one else around.
BC follows the woman into a small square room with blank gray walls and a wall-sized mirror opposite the entryway. There is a table with a single chair in the room.
Utilitarian. The greeter ducks out and the door closes behind her, leaving BC alone in the room.
BC hears a voice say, "Clear."
The mirrored wall clears to transparency. It's now a window into a nearly identical room. Richard Wentworth stands on the other side of the window, all business, in his black three-piece suit and slicked back gray-black hair.
He hasn't changed. A snake in human skin. At least he's on my side. For now. For so long as it benefits him.
Different. Love what you've done with the place, BC says with some attitude.
Precautions, Wentworth says. You are a disease carrier, and I still have not been exposed.
You really know how to make a guest feel welcome. But it's sensible, I guess, BC admits. You really don't think you've come into contact with the Eldred's plague yet?
Apparently not. I've tested negative for it. Best to be careful, eh? We keep ourselves alive by being sensible, cautious, careful, you understand.
Wentworth explains.
Hey, thanks for the fancy treatment. Only befitting the Pope and the chief CEO of the UTZ, huh? Trying to show me who's really in charge?
Is this what you call working together? BC cracks. Great way to start.
Precautions. So, Wentworth continues, you told me on the comm on your way here from your debacle on Mars that you believe, you're convinced, a million-year-old intergalactic war is about to flare up here in our backyard, as you put it?
I am.
An ancient intergalactic war. Being a bit dramatic, aren't you?
Wentworth lectures him.
You'd have us focus on some vague alien threat? What about the UIN? Should we just ignore them?
BC hears the sarcasm in Wentworth's voice.
Not at all.
They're part of it, BC replies calmly. He tries to keep his cool.
Hard to work with a guy when you have to constantly struggle not to punch him. Arrogant prick.
I see. And these aliens you've mentioned before, they're behind it, I gather, from what you wouldn't say over the comm?
Wentworth deduces.
And this goes above and beyond the plague they've already hit us with.
They are called the Eldred, and they are most definitely a part of it. And it most certainly does.
But you say there might not be anything we can do to stop it.
You say you never like to say never, BC reminds him. Wentworth paces back and forth on his side of the glass, thinking. He stops, looks across at BC.
You think there's some new player on Mars who has something to do with this war? Wentworth asks.
I not only think there is, I know he's there. And he does, BC admits.
He knows something. What does Wentworth know about Dolome?
Fizes told me a little about this new player,
Wentworth says, nearly answering BC's unspoken question.
I gather you know more?
What do you know? BC challenges him. I'd rather not repeat information.
And I want to know what you know that I don't.
Huh,
Wentworth grunts, surprised by BC's tone, but he continues.
Fiza says there's a new advisor to Al-Salid, one who's not a Muslim. According to her, he just showed up one day after Al-Salid returned from a secret journey.
That secret journey was Al-Salid's trip out to Eldre to meet with the eldest of the Eldred. We each went out to meet with them, individually. And he and I had decided to secretly meet with each other after he got back, BC explains. That's why I went to Mars.
That plan went well then, hey?
Wentworth chides him. I think this new player got in the way of the plan, BC says.
Fiza says they keep this advisor out of sight for the most part,
Wentworth informs BC.
But she's seen him. Of course, Fiza is good at getting into the kind of places where people who don't want to be seen go. Places people don't want her to get into, he says with a chuckle. She said he had blonde hair when she first saw him, but he dyed it black soon after.
Well, that just about confirms it. And the descriptions I heard of him on Mars certainly match the artist's rendition we have of him from the Eldred. Dolome has to be on Mars, and he has Al-Salid's ear, and maybe his mind. Maybe he's somehow controlling Al-Salid. Didn't even seem like the same guy. Maybe it was Dolome in my head. What did he learn in there? Has it been him all along? That first time, too, on Fortune Station? Somehow, no. That was different.
What is it, Campion? You got quiet.
Hold on, I'm thinking.
What do you know, Campion? I know you know more than you're telling me.
Might as well fill him in.
I know a lot of things, BC says. When I met with the Eldred, Wentworth, I discovered that the human race is descended from a brutal race of galactic conquerors a million years dead, now referred to only as the Ancient Enemy. The Eldred helped overthrow the Ancient Enemy a million years ago, but the Ancient Enemy sent out star seeds, as the Eldred called them, small bundles of Ancient Enemy DNA and such, when their homeworld exploded. One of those star seeds landed here.
Okay, Wentworth says cautiously. Interesting story. But why didn't the Eldred just try to wipe out these star seeds?
They did try. They have been trying, BC tells him. They told me they didn't know at first that the star seeds even existed. When they began finding them, they started wiping them out. But it turns out some other alien races interfered in our case, kept our star seed hidden somehow after the Eldred paid their first visit to Earth thousands of years ago.
The Eldred were here before?
Wentworth asks. They might have wiped out the Neanderthals, BC says. That's just a theory.
And they've been trying to wipe us out with their plague, now that they've found us,
Wentworth realizes, the truth dawning on him.
Now it makes some kind of sense. Not that I like it.
They say they're only trying to contain and control us, that the plague won't kill all of us, BC tells him. They want us to stop killing each other and confine ourselves within the orbit of Jupiter. If we agree to do that, they say, the plague will stop. They just want to keep us, manageable. They want the UTZ Council and the UIN to agree to their conditions.
Manageable? Wentworth erupts. I'll give them manageable. Fuck that. They might as well be killing all of us, Campion. Look around. Our scientists are starting to work with project scientists, but we're no closer to finding a cure.
Wentworth tries to calm himself, shakes his head.
Why not just attack us outright? Couldn't be much worse than this.
I hate to say it, BC says, but it probably is worse now that Dolome is on Mars. Wentworth looks confused. That's the new player you mentioned, Al-Salid's new advisor, BC explains.
Dolome, huh? Strange name.
Yeah, he's not from around here.
So, why does he make it worse?
Wentworth probes. Because the Eldred are afraid of Dolome, and what he represents. And we should probably be aware of what he represents, too, if not afraid of him. He's ruthless, inhuman. He comes from a time and culture more technologically advanced than we are, so he gives the UIN an unfair tech advantage by siding with them against us.
There are lots of ways Dolome makes it worse. The Eldred are afraid of Dolome? Why?
Wentworth thinks out loud.
Wait a minute. How old is this Dolome?
Ancient, BC says.
Ancient?
Wentworth asks and then pauses.
As in ancient enemy ancient? How could he still be... Holy shit, if you weren't the Pope, I'd say you were lying. As it is, I've got to wonder about your mental state.
I wish I was crazy, BC cracks.
But how could one of them be here now?
Well, it's a long story.
We've got time,
Wentworth says. But then he corrects himself.
Huh, well, maybe not too much time, though. The appearance of this Dolome on Mars, that's what has you talking about a million-year-old intergalactic war, isn't it?
A crooked grin twists across Wentworth's mouth.
Can't we just stand aside and let the Eldred wipe out the UIN?
I'm not sure the Eldred appreciate the subtle differences in politics and religion that divide us humans, BC tells him. They may see us all as one race, and if they feel Dolome is somehow, I don't know, tainting us, they may feel justified in wiping all of us out as the last vestige of the ancient enemy.
Right. Let me back up for a second. We're sick because of these aliens. Our human project is in touch with them?
Wentworth asks.
The project set up your trip out to see them?
The project is in contact with the Eldred and those other aliens I mentioned before, BC says.
The ones who kept us hidden from the Eldred.
Exactly. There are several alien races in our area, BC tells him. But the Eldred seem to be the most powerful, aside from the ancient enemy.
And the ancient enemy are our ancestors, Wentworth asks for clarification. And it's one of them on Mars.
Something like that, BC says.
He's one of them, the ancient enemy.
Wentworth is still trying to wrap his head around the idea.
So tell me then, how did he end up on Mars?
I'm guessing he left Eldre stowed away on board the Eldred ship that carried Al-Salid back home to Mars.
Shitty security, Wentworth mumbles. But that doesn't explain how it is he's alive here and now in the first place.
The Eldred and another race found him in deep space in a suspended animation capsule that used technology beyond their own, BC explains to him. Dolome had been placed in the stasis capsule in orbit around the home planet of the ancient enemy in punishment for crimes against his people. The capsule was set free, floating off through space, by the same explosion that destroyed the ancient enemy's homeworld and launched the starseeds.
Oh, great, Wentworth exclaims. So this guy was actually a criminal among those ancient brutes? Just great.
Oh, it gets better, BC tells him. When I got back from Eldre, even before I could talk to you, the Eldred got back in touch through the project to demand another meeting. I met them at the project's asteroid base.
Wait a minute. The project has an asteroid base.
Wentworth stops him. Didn't I mention that?
I don't think so,
Wentworth says cautiously.
You made it sound like they were based on the moon.
The project has a base in the asteroids, too, BC says matter-of-factly, but with a hint of sarcasm.
Thanks.
Just trying to be open and honest, you know, our new, relationship.
Working together,
Wentworth says with a touch of irony. Anyway, at the asteroid base meeting, the Eldred basically told me about Dolome, said he was headed this way, and then told me now it was our problem. They demanded that we deal with it.
You're kidding. They expect us to take care of this guy?
Wentworth asks. That's pretty much how they left it, BC tells him.
Did they know he was on Mars?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, BC guesses. I didn't know myself until I went there to meet with Al-Salid. And even then, I wasn't positive until you confirmed it as well. Fiza told me some, and Wentworth filled in the gaps. Should I tell him about the mental stuff? What do I know about it anyway? I mean, really know. I don't know. This guy could be extremely dangerous, BC says.
Really?
Wentworth challenges him.
Based on whose information? The aliens who are already trying to kill us? Or your project? I'm afraid that neither seems at all credible at this point, Campion. We only have their word that he's even a member of that ancient race, Wentworth points out. You chastised the board for lacking control over the project. It doesn't seem like you've got much control either. You see my point?
You know, I do, I really do, point taken. But they cozied up to these alien races under Van Kilner's leadership, not mine, BC says. Wentworth, if this new player is this Dolome, this ancient enemy, he's more powerful than the average guy. Because there's one more thing, something the Eldred weren't all that forthcoming with. BC pauses.
I'm still not sure I should tell Wentworth this.
What? Don't hold back now, Campion,
Wentworth cautions. I believe the ancient enemy had psionic abilities, BC tells him. They could get inside your head, communicate telepathically, maybe even move things with their minds.
They were telepathic, telekinetic?
Wentworth asks incredulously, shaking his head.
You're kidding me.
You can see why I hesitated to tell you.
That's a lot to swallow, Campion.
Do you believe me? Campion asks.
I do,
Wentworth says to reassure him.
I believe you. I just don't believe the people you believe. Hell, they're not even people, right? The Eldred are the ones that look like little blue koala bears, right?
They might be cute and fuzzy, but don't underestimate them, BC cautions. They've killed off more than half the human race, BC points out. He looks around at the room he's in. Or have you put me in this isolation chamber because I smell bad, BC jokes half-heartedly.
Touché, Wentworth says. You know, judging by what they've said, you may be safe.
Judging by what they've said, BC says, those of us who haven't died yet probably won't. If we're willing to believe the little blue koalas.
I don't know. That psychic stuff sounds too far-fetched,
Wentworth declares. They weren't psychic, psionic. And the Eldred didn't say anything about that at first. It's what I've discovered. The ancient enemy used more of their brains, somehow. I don't know how. They were telepathic. And the Eldred didn't say anything about that, only confirmed it when I confronted them about it.
They didn't tell you about it at first, eh? Where did you get the information, then?
Should I tell him? Why not?
I'm pretty sure I heard Dolome in my head, Wentworth. I know that sounds crazy, but please, please, listen to me, BC asks. I've heard him in my mind. It's real.
You've heard him. In your head. Are you sure?
Not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure. It's disconcerting. And I'm even beginning to think my ability to hear him has something to do with those headaches I've been getting.
I am? I do? I guess I'm beginning to. It makes some kind of sense to me as I explain it out loud to Wentworth. Maybe the headaches are the birth pangs of new mental powers on my part. Psycho man. Yeah, right.
Really?
Wentworth looks at BC quizzically through the glass.
So, you can hear him.
I can. I have. I didn't realize what it was or who it was at first. I heard him in my mind when I visited the Eldred's planet Eldray. That must have been when he was waking up, BC realizes. The Eldred think that my presence on their world somehow triggered the mechanisms of Dolome's suspension capsule, turned them on, and made them automatically thaw him out, he explains. When I was on Mars, I heard him again, louder, stronger somehow. I figured out how to block him out after a while. Wentworth looks down, shakes his head slowly back and forth.
This all sounds ridiculous,
he ends with a shout, lifting his head to glare back at BC through the wall of glass, unconvinced. I don't care how it sounds, BC shouts back at the glass. If Dolome has already taken the UIN side, that could turn the war. Whether you believe he has the power to bend men's will to his own or not, he comes from a time of superior technology, from a people known for their brutal superiority in war. I'm thinking this may give the UIN a bit of a tactical advantage, huh?
No need for sarcasm,
Wentworth frowns.
Pfizer's reports bear out much of what you say.
Fill in the blanks and the pieces of the puzzle fit together, BC says. Who else do you think Pfizer's mysterious stranger, this new advisor, is?
I don't know yet,
Wentworth insists.
I don't think we can be certain it's this Dolome.
I think we can be. Wentworth shakes his head.
Wentworth!
BC shouts at him. Watch the UIN, Wentworth. See if their ships don't all of a sudden get better. Start demonstrating technological advances we don't have. See if this new stranger Fiza mentions doesn't start taking over more and more control. Watch for the signs. Be ready for them to take a shot at us, and be ready to strike back hard. It's the only way Dolome knows.
Look, Campion, this is all very far-fetched,
Wentworth says. He gets a cold and distant look in his eyes as he continues.
I want to thank you for taking the time to stop by today and fill me in on these very important details. I'll look into them and we'll discuss this at the next meeting of the UTZ board. Thank you.
Even as Wentworth says thank you, the glass wall turns opaque, and BC finds himself staring at himself in the mirror.
What the fuck? Come off it. Don't shut me off. Don't shut me out.
Don't take too much time, Wentworth, BC shouts at the mirror. I know it's a lot to think about, but we don't have time to spare. The reappearance of Dolome has not made the Eldred reconsider their stance on humanity and the plague, BC cautions. Even if his escape is their fault, we face two threats, Dolome and the plague.
Clear,
Wentworth says. The mirror turns transparent once again, revealing Wentworth still standing on the other side.
Where do you suggest we go from here, then, Campion?
Wentworth asks him. BC looks him square in the eye. We watch, we wait, and we prepare for the worst.
If you're right, Campion. But that's a big if.
So what are we going to do about it? BC challenges him. Because it's up to us now, Wentworth. No one else is left. Me? I'm thinking I'm going to direct the project to ramp up transspace ship construction and production. And you? You can help me arm those ships. We have war coming our way on all fronts. What else can we do? What can you do?
Such as?
Will you let me turn the project brain trust loose on your shipyards on the moon? Double our efforts? Build some killer ships? Find a way to put up some sort of fight?
How many of us do you think will be left standing to fight after this alien plague runs its course?
Wentworth asks rhetorically.
Don't you know how many have died, are dying?
BC shakes his head. I know, but what else can we do? BC laughs. How pathetic is it that the fate of the human race is dependent on us two?
Who knew it would get this bad?
Wentworth ponders.
I'm in, he tells BC. No reason not to combine our efforts. If the UIN protests politically, let them. It'll just force the issue already at hand. Let's do it.
Good. We need to be together on this, BC says. Speaking of which, do you really need to keep me isolated like this?
Let me see,
Wentworth says, consulting some readout in front of him.
Well, the sweepers say you're clean, even though you've been in the plague zones, as far as our instruments can tell. Still worries me.
I really do think that if you haven't died yet, you're not going to, BC insists. So they said.
Sure. But who's to say they didn't infect you with something new to take back to take out the rest of us?
Now you're just trying to cheer me up, BC jokes.
I don't trust the Eldred. Why should we?
Wentworth insists. We don't really have an option, BC tells him. He laughs. But I can't believe you've ever trusted anyone. Why start with the Eldred?
Touché,
Wentworth says with a smile.
Where to next?
He asks BC. I think I'm heading back to Lunar Prime.
Home base? Or your home away from home? Now that you have the Vatican.
Yeah, it's funny. The moon is one of the few places I do feel at home, BC admits. I can relax and regroup there. Think this through a little.
You need some time to think?
I need all kinds of time. We need all kinds of time. Time to think, time to strategize, time to build and to rebuild, time to at least try to contact the Eldred. Tell them we know where Dolome is, BC explains.
Are you really sure that's a good idea?
Wentworth questions BC. Why not? Despite my doubts, maybe we can get them to help us, make them see the difference between us and the UIN. If the ancient enemy is working with the UIN, maybe we can make the Eldred see that we are on their side. Maybe they can still come in on our side, the enemy of my enemy and all that.
Right.
Wentworth turns away from the glass wall and begins walking away.
Stay in touch, won't you, Campion? Let me know what's going on, he says over his shoulder.
Absolutely. So, you're not going to come see me off?
I'm seeing you off right now, Campion. Goodbye.
Wentworth leaves the room on the other side of the glass. Prick, BC says under his breath.
I heard that,
Wentworth says, unseen, an echo from the hall coming over the loudspeaker. Scary, man, BC says, knowing Wentworth is still listening.
Thank you,
Wentworth says over the speaker. The room door slides open. BC walks out into the corridor. There's no sign of the greeter, so BC finds his own way back to the ship. Drex is there, waiting for him in the walkway outside the ship. You're not afraid of the sickness? BC asks him as he walks up.
Me?
Nah, the pilot says. Your time comes, it comes. You die, you die, he says dryly. Very pragmatic of you, BC observes. So, you still want to go to the moon?
Yep.
The two board the ship. BC settles in for the trip to Lunar Prime as Drex gets them underway.
That was Chapter 1 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Well, you know, looking back, listening to it again now, that is a
It's a lot of exposition and scene setting, I guess, isn't it? Got me thinking, it's kind of like episode one of any season of Game of Thrones, you know, where not a whole lot happens, but they set all the scenes, yeah. And I hadn't even read George R. R. Martin when I wrote that book. Not yet. The whole abdication thing gets going in our next chapter, so I hope you're going to be back next week as we do chapter two of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio by popular demand. Again in the news, working on a graphic novel for Green Mountain Support Services, so that's going along well. We'll be seeing that for a bit, but it's in the works. And there's going to be a new audiobook that I narrate, an introduction to the Emerald Tablet of Thoth Hermes, all about the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus. Easy for me to say now. So that's coming out soon. And of course, we are getting into a new audiobook for the first time ever, this edition of Vatican Abdicator on this podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. And we're going to go all the way through the book by request. So, thank you for participating in the survey. If you want to see the survey results, you can follow the link. It's in the show notes. That shows you some of the results that I got in. If you did participate in the survey and you're waiting on your audiobook, I'm waiting for the promotional codes. They're supposed to be here now. They haven't arrived yet. But as soon as I get them, I will be getting those codes to you so you get your free audiobooks. So thanks again for participating in the survey for Glow in the Dark Radio. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.